In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This gospel today is a tough one. It's difficult to hear if we're hearing it in the right spirit, because it's almost like the flip side of the Lord's mercy, because we know that He is merciful. We know that He goes the extra inch, the extra foot, the extra mile for our salvation all the time. That never stops. He never relinquishes His pursuit of us in all things. Yet one thing that we hear over and over and over again throughout the Gospels, and it's certainly in this parable today, but it's in many other places as well, and that's the absolute necessity for forgiveness. Now, right before, what we didn't hear in this gospel, but right before in this passage, is when the Lord is being asked by Peter about how many times he should forgive his brother, even up to seven times. Well, of course, the rabbinical teaching said that you would forgive three times. You could forgive three times, but then the fourth time, no. That was it. And Peter, of course, was well aware of this. And so he thought he was being generous. He said, well, even up to seven times? Thinking, wow, I'm going to stretch this out a little more. You know, not just three, let's go all the way up to seven. But the Lord, of course, turns that right around on him and says, no, not seven, but 70 times seven, meaning an absolutely infinite number. And then he goes on to tell this particular parable about the really ungrateful and unforgiving servant, because this man was in huge debt to the king in the parable. In fact, some have tried to reckon how much money this would actually be. And if you use according to what talents and denarii were back then, they said today it would have been millions of dollars. And so the king, finally wanting to settle accounts with all of his servants, you know, says, well, pay up, right? Pay up. And the man is saying, Lord, please. He begs him. He falls down before him. Please, I can't pay this. Have mercy on me. And the king is quite moved by all of this. And not only does he forgive him, but he remits the debt entirely. And yet this same man goes out the same day and finds another one of the servants who owes him money and says, you need to pay me. And the man again, this time, the same as the original, falls before him and says, I can't pay it. Please have mercy on me. He uses the same words that the first man did, but he wouldn't forgive him. And so he was cast into prison. Well, of course, at that time, then more of the servants' word traveled around and they came back to the Lord and they said, look what happened here. You forgave this man everything, and he went out and he's had another one of us thrown into prison. And of course, the king was very, very upset. And so he came back to the original man and said, look, I forgave you everything, absolutely everything, and yet this is what you've done. And so, although he was still willing to forgive the debt, but because of that man's actions, he said, no. Cast him into prison, and you will not get out until you pay the last farthing. And as the fathers of the church suggest to all of us, because we are all in debt, the debts in this case are our sins. And because of our sins, we will not get out until we pay the last farthing, mean that we can never repay for our sins. We will never get out. And so this man was condemned, completely condemned because of all this. We see the same thing in ourselves so very often. We say the Lord's Prayer all the time. What does it say? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our debts, in some translations, as we forgive our debtors. And then this parable sort of hits it home. It's all that more important for us to know that forgiveness is absolutely everything if we want to be considered Christians. Without it, there's nothing. And my dear brothers and sisters, in this day and age, right now, the things that are going on that we see so often. The very notion of forgiveness is something that has just gone out the window. People are not forgiving. People are accusing. People are condemning over and over and over again. I mean, we see it every single day. Our society right now is plagued with this. There is no forgiveness anywhere. Even among us Orthodox Christians, during this time of the pandemic, I see the same thing. There's so much condemnation. Which side are you on in the pandemic? So childish, so ridiculous, so satanic, the way that these sort of things infect us, because we've turned inward far too much. We're looking only out for ourselves. We're only thinking about ourselves, only us, what we think is important at any one given time. This is not the Christian way. This is not the way of the Lord. This is not what we're called to do. We are called to completely divest ourselves of any concern for ourselves so that we may reach out to others. That's a very important thing for us to remember, for us to keep in mind every single day of our lives, and particularly now, because the temptation is going to be to turn towards someone else and to recompense them the way that we feel that we have been treated. Again, completely against the golden rule, is it not? Completely. But that is the temptation, because pride swells up within us. The idea that somehow God in all of this is secondary to what our own feelings are. And the Lord is pointing this out to us in this parable today, because someone then who receives incredible mercy, turns right around and demands the same thing towards someone else. What gets into people? What is wrong with people that we would ever think in this manner, that we would ever try to act in this manner, that we would try to somehow even dare to pray while thinking such thoughts? How can we? Prayers like that, they don't go to heaven. Not at all. They are rejected completely. You know, the fathers of the church even talk about in this parable, when it speaks of those other servants who ended up squealing on the first guy, and rightfully so, that this is in reference to the angelic hosts. The angelic host who, as St. Gregory Palamas points out to us, all of them, the entire host of heaven, were created for the sake of mankind. That's why they are there. And they see what we do. And they watch and they listen and they get angry about it. And that's what the parable is pointing to, that these other angels that are surrounding us all the time, completely grieved over the way that we act and that we walk in our so-called walk with the Lord, because it's not a true walk. It's more like a limp so much of the time, because the entire host of heaven is there. And like I've told you many times, my brothers and sisters, you are not alone. The things that you do, the things that you say, the things that you proclaim, as if God doesn't know them, because He does, the host of heaven knows as well. They are watching. They are listening. They are trying fervently to pray for us. And yet they're grieved when we do these things, when we do not forgive others, and not just say it, but forgive from the bottom of our hearts, because that's where true forgiveness lies. If we can't do that, what does the Lord say in other places? Neither will He forgive us. And this parable points this out as to what happens to those who are refusing to forgive. Because you know, when you don't forgive each other, because all of creation, all of humanity created in the image of likeness of God, this is the beloved of God. humanity is the beloved of God. And so when we refuse to forgive each other, we are in effect offending God in the greatest degree possible. We are saying it doesn't matter that this is your creation. I am going to turn against your creation, even though I know that you love me. Or at least I should know that. So this is something to remember, my dear brothers and sisters, during this time when judgmentalism is so rampant all the time. Condemnation is so rampant. When's the last time you heard on the news that some congressman forgave another one? When's the last time that Chuck Schumer and Mitchell got together and embraced one another and said, well, I disagree, but I forgive you for any offenses you may have caused me, and you forgive me for any I have caused you? Does that happen very often? When's the last time a TV commentator said anything like this? No, it's all condemnation for us. It's self-assurance and pride within them. And that whole set of circumstances, all the things we hear every day, kind of seeps out into society. And then people hear part of it. And then rumors start and things go around. And all of a sudden we're at each other's throats, as we have been really since the beginning of this pandemic. And it's got to stop here and now. With the listening to this parable, it needs to stop among all of us, completely quit. No condemnation, only forgiveness. Because that's what the Lord is saying to do. And if we follow Him, we have to imitate Him in this regard. Otherwise, it's not going to be a happy scenario for all of us. Though the Lord is merciful, we dare not presume His mercy. That's one of the greatest sins a Christian can engage in, is presumption of the Lord's mercy. We certainly hope for it. We certainly pray for it. But we can't think, when we are not keeping up our end, when we are not responding to the grace that He gives us, that somehow He's going to turn around and just wipe it clean. No. We are created in His image. We are here to attain His likeness. We are to reclaim the paradise that we lost. We have more than Adam and Eve ever had. We have the grace of God. We have Jesus Christ in the flesh become one of us. He's given us everything, and we have no excuses. None whatsoever. So please, forgive your neighbor, and not just your neighbor. Forgive your family members. Forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ. Forgive your senators and your congressmen. Hard as that might be, it's important to do that. Because if you can't forgive, if there's someone that is outside the limits of your forgiveness, then you have really moved yourself outside the boundaries of God's forgiveness. Oh, He might in the end turn around and give you a break. He might. That's certainly possible because He loves us all. But He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to not only love with the innate love that sometimes we feel for one another as human beings, but for the only love that matters, which is His, because He is love. That is the only true love that we can rely on. So let's take that love, go out into the world, and be the beginnings of a completely new people, renewed society, because of the forgiveness that begins right here among all of us. Amen.